and welcome to the Tech CEO Essentials podcast. We focus on the top areas that tech CEOs need to know, and I'm your host, Tom Cooper. This podcast is sponsored by my company, Bright Hill Group, where we help leaders get more from their teams. Today, I've got the privilege of interviewing Dan O'Brien from Tech Image. Dan's the Chief Strategy Officer at Tech Image, a public relations firm, and I'd like to know a little bit more about that. So, Dan, your background.
My background starts at J. Walter Thompson, which is a big global ad agency, and I spent the first 12 years of my career in advertising, but I learned a lot about strategy and account management and a lot of blue chip clients. From there, I went over to the client side and became the general manager of marketing communications at Ameritech Cellular, where I actually took on public relations responsibility as well as the advertising. And then I went to Accenture for 9 years, where I was the global director of advertising, and helped them transition the brand from Anderson Consulting to Accenture, which was kind of a career motivating experience for me. And then I started my own company, and of which I ran for 5 years, and then came together with Tech Image just recently. And so I'm helping Tech Image with their clients in terms of guiding the strategy of our clients and helping introduce them to digital public relations.
That's fantastic. So as we kind of get started, you know, at the highest level, what are the most important things a CEO of a tech organization can do to be successful with marketing and PR efforts?
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things that any CEO really has to focus on is how well their communications organization is working with the sales organization. Most organizations have the sales silo or the division disaggregated or separate from the communications division, from the PR and marketing and advertising division. And in this digital age, it's really, it's very dysfunctional not to have those two groups working together. And it's hard to figure out internally, but my advice would be to make sure that your head of sales and your head of corporate communications or head of PR, chief marketing officer, are joined at the hip with the chief sales officer, because when those two organizations are aligned and working well, it manifests into a tremendous communication integration that pays off in increased revenue and more effective communications. And it's a lot about messaging and making sure that those messages are aligned, but it's also an organizational and process issue. So from the CEO perspective, looking down on that, they need to figure out how to open those doors between sales and marketing in a way that really streamlines the growth for the future.
Well, it sounds like something that would be fairly challenging to do, that you've got entrenched kind of interests in different camps, and how do you find a way to merge those?
Yeah. It's really not difficult to do. I think it's difficult only in that the historical experience of most companies doesn't align well with bringing those two groups together and asking them to collaborate with each other. If you've got a great head of sales, you've got a great CMO or head of corporate communications, they want to be more successful too. So given the opportunity to walk through that door, they will. And usually what happens when they walk through that door is they find a whole new area of ways that they can be successful. But it's got to be a CEO directive though.
Comes from the top.
It's got to come down from the top, and that's why we're talking to CEOs of tech companies here. This is really it's an imperative that they have to do to make their overall organization more successful.
That's great. So what things stand in the way of firms achieving a successful communications program?
Well, I think one of the biggest obstacles to success in PR or marketing is not having a clear strategy. Hence my title with the company, Chief Strategy Officer. Often we experience companies that have either a sales strategy or a messaging strategy for their services that they're offering or their products that they're selling. But in terms of being consistent with the message that differentiates their firm and their service offerings from everybody else, and being consistent in how you cascade that message throughout each one of the channels, it really will lead to whether they're successful or not. And I think the greatest impediment is that those messages in the different channels are not consistent. And so, having somebody recognize, again, from the top down, whether it's from the sales organization or the marketing organization or the PR organization, that the strategy, the messaging, is consistent, relevant, and differentiating, and then translated it into a way that the customers can understand and aspire to, that is one of the biggest obstacles, because too often companies have different messages across channels.
Well, that's really interesting, because at the core, you're talking about something internal. It's not even something external. You know, as I think about
Absolutely.
What obstacles might stand in the way initially, I'd be thinking, man, what is it that's outside the organization that's going to prevent us? And really what you're focusing on is much more internal.
You will always have economic cycles, you know, highs and lows. You will always have competitive offerings and prices. You will always have those obstacles that will, you know, you could say prevent you from success. So, you know, the best approach that a CEO or a head of corporate communications can do is get their internal function working properly, right, mm-hmm. on all cylinders, which means clarifying the strategy, consistently cascading it through the channels that make the most difference, digitally optimizing your content so it can be screened online, and mm-hmm. that's another whole opportunity that we can talk about.
Sure.
And then consistently communicating from your team through the different disciplines that are required to reach your customers more effectively.
Got it. So I think that ties into this idea of what channels exist for PR and marketing, and where do you think is the best bang for the buck from an investment perspective?
Yeah, I love this question, because you know, it really reflects the changes that have happened in the marketplace over the last 10 years, really. And you know, a great statistic that I think is worth noting is that 90% of all of our information comes from screen-based objects. So they come from our desktop computers, from our smartphones,
wow.
from our tablets. And you know, only 10% of all the information that we get comes from things that we physically read anymore.
Hmm.
And when you think about what that means in terms of your communication, it means you have to change everything.
Hmm.
By the way, only about 20% of all the finances and resources go into the digital space.
Hmm.
80% still goes into the printed word. So you can see there's a huge disconnect between how customers get information and how we're producing information to get to them.
Hmm.
So we need to bridge that gap, which means digitally optimizing your material in a way that can be found online. You know, where's the first place that you go to learn about anything? And you know, as you search, so as your customers search for the products and services that you offer, think about what are they finding online when they search for those keywords. You know, and by the way, I also think it's worth noting to say that it's not just about search engine optimization. I mean, we're talking about SEO here, but mm-hmm. But it's a whole new mindset and way of thinking. It's not just optimizing everything, but there are strategies in terms of how to leverage the digital channels in a way that have never been done before, because you know, when you map your customers' behavior online and realize where they're getting their information and how they're spending their time online,
mm-hmm.
it translates back to how you need to change things.
Mm.
And that's one of the things that we do, is we help customers figure that out and align the resources and the investments they're making with the way that their customers are operating online to help them reach them more effectively.
Now, do you find customers have a good idea today of the resources they're already producing, that they've got sort of an inventory and a catalog of the types of materials they're producing, and that it's easy to make that translation, or do you have to help them kind of assess where they are and the effectiveness of the existing pieces as you look at the new strategy?
Yeah, it's a great question, and almost across the board, they do not know what their assets are, and they really have no idea, and it takes an audit to really figure out what they've got. Most companies are surprised when they learn that the top piece that they've produced gains visibility around a product or service they're offering is not the piece they intended to be found or seen online. And so,
you know, surprise.
Yeah, and it is, and it's usually, you know, not a happy surprise.
Right.
But, you know, and so, you know, when you identify what those are, then you can figure out, you know, what are the most important things that need to be in front of your customers, and then to write them well, keep that strategy consistently forefront with the piece, optimize it so it can be found online. And when that all works together, you know, then you're really maximizing the efficiency, by the way, of the digital space. That digital space is highly efficient compared to traditional forms of marketing and PR.
So you mentioned strategy a couple of times, and it sounds like there's a need to have strategic thinking at the senior levels about exactly what direction you want to go. Do you find that is a challenge that a lot of organizations have? Do they have clarity about where they want to go? I think you said there's some disconnect even between sales and marketing in messaging. So talk about that a little bit.
Sure. There is usually a different strategy corporately than there is in the lines of business in most organizations. And, you know, the lines of business are set up to function very efficiently with regard to the things that are most important to their customers. But the corporate brand, if you will, doesn't usually play very well in that line of business. And the line of business service offerings or differentiation doesn't fit well at the corporate level. And so the challenge we've got is how do you bring that together so the organization as a whole benefits from all of the messaging that comes out of each line of business at a corporate level, and then vice versa, how does that corporate message, how do you integrate that into the line of business messaging in a way that, you know, the goal is to satisfy those line of business customers and to increase sales without a hiccup, but without sacrificing the brand, the corporate brand. And so it's important that companies understand how to align the strategic objective of the whole organization with the unique characteristics of the lines of business.
So do you have a methodology for ensuring that you bring that in for organizations? Is that something you guys do?
We do. We have a strategy brief that we outline what the corporate objective is, and then we figure out how those lines of business, what those lines of business messaging is, and we look for the things that align well together. And our goal is the materials that we produce for the lines of business and the material, thought leadership pieces, videos, press releases, things like that are they're almost seamless between the lines of business and corporation, because when you integrate those messages across lines and corporate, you're really succeeding in telling the greater story of the corporation, but doing it in a way that is relevant and motivating to the customers for the lines of business. So we spend a lot of time on that.
That's great. So you talked about the digital channels and how much more efficient they are and how it's tied to the way we consume information. So what's happened even recently over the last few years with PR, and what do you see are trends that are happening in ways that executives could really benefit from some of those trends?
Well, not surprisingly to most people who are watching this, you know, your brand equity is what can be found online. Now, yes, you control other things, you know, like the paid media in terms of, you know, commercials you produce and print ads and collateral material and things like that. But considering, again, 90% of the information is found online, you know, your brand is what is found online. And so, you know, most corporations have to view their brand that way. A great example is Allstate Insurance, one of our clients who several years ago, if you Googled their keyword, there were several negative sites that appeared on page one search results. Just because of the nature of their business and the customer service aspect of their business. And so that was really an eye-opener for them that helped us work with them to organize and create materials that really presented their story in a way that would appear first on the search results for their keywords. Mm-hmm. We've replaced those things online, and now, in a representative sample, what appears when you Google their brand name is really more reflective of their organization and their services they offer their clients.
Sure.
And I think that plays well with all companies, you know, who have that issue.
But you're putting your finger on something I think is kind of interesting, and this is the nerd in me kind of coming out, and it has to do with the idea of SEO, which is so frequently about gaming the search engines to be able to find a way to populate to the top. And I think what you're talking about is really messaging, and the SEO goes in alignment with messaging as opposed to just the geeky techniques to kind of find yourself climbing the ranks.
Yeah, and Tom, you bring up a great point. I think SEO has to a certain degree become associated with this gaming the system. But really, you know, the way we look at SEO is that SEO best practices need to be integrated into PR best practices or advertising best practices or, you know, collateral development or event marketing. It doesn't matter. Because of the power of the search engines today, that needs to be integrated into all these disciplines. And the way you do it, as an example, just to clarify the difference between doing it well and gaming the system. Mm-hmm. So PR best practices includes creating digital media releases. Mm-hmm. Instead of traditional media releases, which are produced in PDF form and then distributed on the news wires, you create an HTML web page that has all of the information that's in the press release, so it's readable by the search engines. And then you can include rich media like infographics and videos and pictures of the product or service or clients using the product and service. Title and tag them in a way that are readable by the search engine, and then distribute them to not only to the news wires, but also to a group we call digital influencers. Mm. And this is a whole group of people now that have gained credibility and authority online who aren't traditional journalists, but they have a following in the space that of the services that you're offering your clients. You need to know, first of all, how to find those people, because they have a huge voice and a huge influence in your industry, and then how to get information to them in a way that will help them tell your story for you.
Well, that's really interesting. So essentially then you're sort of recruiting people to be your cheerleaders.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and if you've got a good story and it's well written, mm-hmm. you know, they'll multiply it for you.
That's really powerful. I mean, I can see that as the things that I've seen go viral. It's amazing. And sometimes, I mean, I think about there was an airline that had an issue with a musician where they broke his guitar, you know, and then all of a sudden he creates this video and it goes crazy viral. And all of a sudden it's a major PR problem for that airline. Right.
Yes,
and they've got to figure out how are they going to respond to that.
Yes.
And interestingly, when they came to the musician and said, "Hey, would you please stop this?" He said, "No, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting more PR from this than I was from."
He's getting more gigs from that than he is getting compensation from.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and interestingly, he did a really creative set of videos. I don't know if you had a chance to see any of those
videos.
I have
seen them.
But they're really powerful, and I think it talks about leveraging that digital divide, to make it simpler for getting the message out. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I know I forwarded that to my network several times because I thought, this is really funny.
Well, you know, and that's a great example, too, of new techniques that are available to help clients tell their stories. You know, and something that's really gaining a lot of traction right now is something called crowdsourcing. Mm-hmm. And this is when you reach out to the community of people who care about the topic that you're talking about, and invite them to produce materials to tell your story. You know, either whether it's through a contest or some kind of an incentive you create. But then that gives you a variety of crowdsourced, whether it's videos or thought leadership pieces to choose from. And then you can take those pieces then and then distribute them to your network in a way that gives you a creative angle at it, and information and content and formats that you normally wouldn't have access to. Very affordable and very effective online.
That's really interesting. I mean, as you say that, all of a sudden I'm thinking of products that I like a lot and ways that I use those products to do pretty interesting things and stories that I could tell related to things about which I'm passionate. You know, that there, we had a situation, my mom was in the hospital for something, and we were able to leverage portable technology to be able to do video conferencing, you know, and it was bam, right there, over the air, perfect. You know, that vendor's not saying, oh, we should tell Tom's story, right? But that story is a powerful story and could be something that a company could leverage to really promote the brand of their product.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's very interesting.
You know, Twitter is also a very big search engine today. People don't think of it as that. Hmm. And in the B2B space, among corporations, you know, people look a little bit nervous at what Twitter can do and what its role is. But 75% of all journalists use Twitter to do their jobs.
Very interesting.
Which means that if you have a product or service offering or a keyword that reflects the service that you deliver, if you follow the hashtags related to that topic, you're going to find not only the journalists who are working in that space and following that, but you're going to find those digital influencers who are also have a big voice in terms of that topic.
Interesting. So then you've got to get your messaging down to one word or one set of words that is really brief, right? Because Twitter's so terse.
Yes. But I to that point, I would encourage people not to be afraid of social media because, you know, from a corporate perspective, yes, you have to have regulations in place for your employees. You have to use it intelligently.
Sure.
But the world is using it, and they're using it not just to share what they're having for lunch. They're using it for commerce.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of business done on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Pinterest. Sure. So, you know, knowing how to tap into those social networks intelligently to do business is an important component of any PR or communications program today.
Well, that's a really good point, and I appreciate that insight and that thinking, because it is easy to get scared about, oh, this social media thing, I can't let those 20-somethings actually, well, maybe you do and maybe you don't, but there's already a conversation happening without you, and it's an opportunity for you to be a participant in the conversation, right?
Yes.
Much like the insurance example you gave earlier, that how do they know how there's already a communication conversation happening about their products and services today, whether they're engaging in it or not.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah. So let's talk, as we kind of wrap up, let's talk about some of the commonly held myths about PR. So, you know, no such thing as bad PR. Is that a myth?
I think that that is a myth. I think there are plenty of examples where firms have been hurt by PR. You know, there are PR people out there would say that that's not a myth, but I think you need to be careful. And, you know, there are good examples out there of companies that you know, continue to struggle because of the persistent negative PR that they've received, and it impacts them in every level of the corporation, whether it's through their share price, shareholder value, or their recruiting organization trying to recruit high quality talent. And the reason I say that too is because it's related to this whole the digital imperative of making sure you understand the space. You know, in this day and age, you know, any hack with a web tool can put up negative information about your company.
Oh, very easily and cheaply.
Yes. And so to be aware of what's out there and what your brand stands for, and then how to manage that content in a way that you're positively reflecting the attributes of your company, your corporate mission, the products and services you offer, is the secret to success. It really is.
So really, it sounds almost as if the first step is go to your web browser and go to your favorite search engine and type in your company name and see what comes back. Because I think what you're saying is that's representative of what the world sees.
Yes, that's right. That's a good place to start.
Yeah, well, sure, that would be all of it, right? But at
yes.
least maybe you're not even aware of what it looks like.
Yes.
You know, to go back to the Allstate example from earlier, if they didn't do that, they wouldn't have known necessarily that they were competing for that that headspace.
That's
around
right.
that
yeah.
piece.
Yeah, and then also, you know, controlling your content, I think, you know, in a way that helps you manage the story you tell about your brand, and not just letting anybody who has an experience with your brand take the lead in terms of what your brand represents online.
Oh, interesting.
Take
yeah.
control of your brand.
Whose story is it anyway?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, yes.
That's interesting. So so what about it's about who you know?
Well, it is about who you know in terms of, again, the digital influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I don't mean to negate the importance of traditional journalists, you know, but I will most, if not all traditional journalists who are writing in the printed or broadcast word also have social media following that is usually bigger than their traditional side. I mean, as an example, the Wall Street Journal has a much bigger readership online than it does in the actual newspaper itself. And we all know the statistics of the people who are younger than 40, you know, who are not reading, you know, any printed word at all. They're getting all of their information online. So with that example, I think you have to know who are the people with the greatest influence over your brand and the topic and of the products and services that you sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know where your clients are getting their information. And once you know that, it will help you control those channels more effectively. So to a great degree, it is all about who you know.
Interesting. So, and just to kind of camp on that, the kind of related thing that comes to my mind is the issue of how do you not necessarily control those independent producers, but how do you influence them, right? How do you get on their radar where they say, oh yeah, this company is a decent company. They want to work with me. They want to help this.
Yes. And what's funny about that is that's one area where the techniques of public relations really haven't changed that much, you know, despite the fact that the technology has revolutionized the industry. You know, getting good PR today in the digital realm is still about building those relationships with the people who have the influence. You know, working with them to make sure that they understand your clients' products and services, that you're telling them a great story that they find compelling so they'll use it. Those are all the same strategies that we used when, you know, before the internet. So, you know, they're just new channels and new technologies.
Sure, sure. So, Dan, I appreciate you being with us today and kind of walking us through some of these ideas. Now, I think you mentioned something about digital PR best practices. You have a resource or a template or a checklist we could look at on that?
Yeah, we can share with you a checklist about in terms of the things that you ought to be doing. If you're not doing this, then you should be. And there's a list of things that talks about the things that we've talked about, optimizing your content, leveraging digital media in an intelligent way, knowing where your brand stands online, leveraging social media intelligently, you know, for your industry. And so we'll share that with you.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks. I'll make sure I get a link to that on the website as well. So for more information about Dan and the work that he's doing, techimage.com, right? That's
correct.
A great place to get in touch with you.
Right.
Fantastic. And for our listeners, join us next time for more Tech CEO Essentials. We've got other exciting topics coming up, sales and dealing with people and communications, accounting, legal, even more. It's going to be great. For Bright Hill Group, this is Tom Cooper, signing off.